Morning. Today's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 19 verses 1 to 10. Luke chapter 19 verses 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran and hid and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restored it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to the house, since he is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Lord, we thank you so much for this service this morning and all that you are saying to us already through so many parts, and we just bless you. And as we think for a few moments of this amazing episode in Luke, please may your Holy Spirit, who called it to be written, help us to receive its message and receive you, Lord, not only here, but in our homes too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's great to be here this morning, and as Henry's been saying, we've been looking at Jesus having meals in people's homes, as Luke's gospel describes it. Last week it was Martha and Mary, and it'd been a good idea if Jesus is coming home to listen to him. And I don't know, as we've been going through this, and maybe if you're here for the first time with Finley's baptism or whatever you've been, this may be something, a new dimension, or be good to be reminded of Jesus not just being like in church or church meetings or whatever, but actually being in our homes, in my home, in your home, in my life and in your life. And what happens to us, what happens in our homes, what happens in our lives when Jesus comes in? When he comes home with us. If you've never really thought about Jesus sharing a meal with you, I don't know, maybe you've never ever said a grace before a meal, but maybe that would be a little change that could happen in your home. Oh yes, you're here. This is another gift, like faith, that you've given to us, like everything else. Well, if you never thought like that, you're in very, very good company, because Zacchaeus hadn't either. If you'd asked him that morning what was going to happen when he was thinking about joining the crowd and getting a look at Jesus from a safe distance, I can think we can be pretty sure that the idea of Jesus coming home with him was the very last thing on his mind. It might be the last thing on your mind. Well, if it is, maybe today is a day for a surprise. C.S. Lewis, who is a great writer of children's stories, and I recently read the account he gave of his own conversion from atheism. He says something like this: "Atheists wondering about God can't be too careful about what they are reading. And he found and he describes how so many authors, poets and literature, he just couldn't get away from God. And the moment of change when he realized it wasn't just him trying to avoid God. God was actually looking for him. And you can read about how he found him. Zacchaeus thought he was just out for a bit of curiosity, a place in the crowd. Curious, but as I say, keep your distance. Maybe he had heard about the blind Bartimaeus being healed and given his sight outside Jericho. Maybe he had heard about the story of the tax collector going back forgiven from the temple rather than the Pharisee, Zacchaeus, of course, being a chief tax collector. So that was interesting. Maybe he wondered about Jesus' teaching on the very sensitive subject of money, about which Zacchaeus knew a great deal. And the rich young man, who was a very eligible disciple if you were looking for them, and was asking Jesus about the commandments of God, and Jesus saying, all you have to do is give everything away. And the man went away sad. And in Luke's account of that particular episode, it triggers who is my neighbor question, and we get the story of the Good Samaritan. So you might think Zacchaeus has got good reason for keeping Jesus a little bit of a distance. Don't get too close. Don't talk about anything too personal. Don't talk about money especially. I'm interested, but intimacy is out. Ever felt like that? Ever come to a large church like this where it's safe to be a little bit anonymous, slip in, slip out, and it's good, I like it, the music, the kids' work, whatever, but don't get too close, Jesus, please. There may be all kinds of reasons why we say that, and all of us can say that at different times. I'll come on to that in a moment. But if that's you, watch out. Watch out for this story from Luke 19. Because the wonderful thing about this story is that if you have any of those fears, and there can be lots of reasons where we may have them, and we've touched on some of them already, you know, we just might think, you know, like you can like them, but me, my situation, no. My past, even my present. What we get from this, these 10 verses in Luke 19, Jesus smashes all that to bits. If there was anyone whose home he should not be going to, it was Zacchaeus's. And what does he say to Zacchaeus when he sees him up the tree, hiding away? Zacchaeus, I'm coming to stay with you. Actually, it's not just a meal. In the words that is used, it would be a little bit like inviting himself to stay over today. Okay? Not because Zacchaeus is the perfect person with the perfect family or the perfect house. In fact, quite the opposite. It doesn't sound like Zacchaeus made it to the temple that often. He was certainly very rich. He was quite clear in his own mind that he had defrauded people, a lot of people, of a lot of money. So he is completely dumbfounded and shocked that Jesus knows his name, knows where he lives, and wants to come and stay over at his house. You might understand how he felt. Well, yes, perhaps, Lord, could we have a little discussion maybe next week, not today? Oh, and we might delete the expletive that comes into our mind and send up arrow prayers that X, Y, and Z members of our household are A, out of bed, and B, have a fair chance of getting dressed before he arrives home. But what happens in the story is that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is saying to Zacchaeus, and through Zacchaeus to us, he can cope. He's not remotely fazed by it. In fact, he's actually quite keen to come. It's not entirely clear if you look at verses 6 and 7 as to what's happening. Actually, Zacchaeus, in reacting to Jesus, knowing his name, is kind of, there's a wow moment. Maybe in that curiosity that has brought him up the sycamore tree, he does know, he's come. There is some faith beginning in him, like we were hearing in the catechism slot. Something that he's hearing about this guy Jesus is getting to him. This guy has got something, and I've got all the money the world could ever give me, but I know that that is quite a lot not what I need, and this guy sounds like he's got what I need, so I'm interested. And somehow, in that moment, when Jesus calls him by name, just tramples all over the social protocol and says, I'm coming to your house, mate. Something happens inside Zacchaeus. Faith. Jesus has given it to him. And the guy is saying yes to it. And actually, he says, okay. Come back with me. And his life is going through a moment where he has got no idea what the consequences of that decision are going to be. So maybe that helps us. If we are shocked at the idea of Jesus coming home, to get over our shock and say, and to trust Jesus, as we've heard already, has been speaking about, and we've been witnessing in the baptism of Finn, receiving him like a child. And here is this guy, the chief tax collector, who is extraordinarily experienced in defrauding a lot of people, who astonishingly, because of Jesus speaking to him with words of grace, finds he can respond to Jesus like a child. Come home with me. It's okay. I wonder if you're okay with that. I'm hoping that as we're thinking a little bit about this story, all of us, whether we're meeting Jesus for the first time or whether we've known Jesus a long time, we'll know again this morning from this story that Jesus, who began that day with Zacchaeus, wasn't going to finish with him until the end of his life, and he's not finished with us, and today is about all of us inviting him home. All of us saying, come and help shape me. And this is where the story in Luke 19 gets a little bit complicated. Because even though Zacchaeus has got over the shock, he is kind of happy that this is happening, and he's not going to say no to it. But he's in the crowd now, he's visible to the crowd now, and it seems like they know who he is. Maybe they're thinking Jesus doesn't really know who he is. So there's a lot of that going on. Him? Are you serious? Have you got any idea of what this guy has done? Didn't you say to the rich young man asking about commandments he had to give away everything, and this guy wanted to be a disciple, and now Zacchaeus, you're just drawing him out of the crowd. How is this okay? Again, we might be one of the murmurers or the grumblers. And in the culture, people weren't too subtle about it or silent about it. In England, we're kind of, it's all sotto voce, under, not sure about that, there, out there. Jesus, what do you think you're doing? And what's interesting and encouraging from the story is that Jesus isn't fazed by that either. He's not actually that bothered about what other people think about us or other people. He's interested in what he thinks and what he is going to do. But the very fact that the grumbling happens and Jesus isn't particularly put off by it, he doesn't say, "Oh, I'm terribly sorry, I've got the wrong person." Yes. What happens is Zacchaeus saying words that he probably never imagined he would ever say. If you want a theological description of what happens next, it's a conviction of sin, it's a confession of sin, and it's an amendment of life. We're not told explicitly, but in the encounter with Jesus, Jesus coming to him personally and to the household in his happiness and amazement, there is a moment in which Zacchaeus sees his life as Jesus sees it. And in the moment of seeing his life as Jesus sees it, he realizes the way Jesus sees it and the way Jesus wants it is a whole heap better. He realizes his life, all the money that he's got in the world has ended up leaving him in a total mess. And actually, because Jesus wants to come home with him, because Jesus is engaging with him, he wants to do something about it. So we get conviction of sin and confession and amendment of life because this man is open to the goodness of God present in the person of Jesus coming into his life, coming into his home. And he's saying yes. And I'm hoping we're going to say yes too. So he does, Zacchaeus. The mood music of his language in Luke 19 is a bit like the prodigal son coming home and discovering his father is throwing a party for him. And Zacchaeus is saying, "This is amazing." And in order to demonstrate that I realize what this is about, I am going to tell you, Lord Jesus, and I'm going to tell you, people who think the guy is crazy, stuff I know now, this minute, before Jesus even puts his foot in my house, I know that I'm going to give away half of my money to the poor. And in the law, it said, if you defrauded somebody, then you needed to give it back to them and you needed to give a fifth more back. And Zacchaeus, who obviously knows something about money and accounting, says, I'm not only going to give him back, I'm going to give it four times as much. Immediately, because Jesus is present, because Jesus is coming home, immediately Zacchaeus is willing to deal with stuff that he knows is wrong and cannot really endure or survive when Jesus is present. And what's interesting in the story is at this point, the crowd shut up. maybe this isn't such a bad idea anymore, because maybe some of the people in the crowd are the people that Zacchaeus defrauded. And we see that not only, and this is then comes the announcement that Jesus makes in response to Zacchaeus, salvation doesn't just come to your house, Zacchaeus, but it's coming to this town. Because starting with you, brother, we're going to start putting some things right that have been wrong for a long time. And you didn't think they mattered very much, and you didn't think there was anything you can do about it, but here I am, and I'm coming to your house, so let's get started. So, it turns out that when Jesus comes, and when he comes into the house of a person who is has got such a negative profile, as you can imagine, as Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, he was in charge of all the others, that even somebody like him is a child of Abraham. The blessing God promised centuries before to Abraham for the nations of the world, Zacchaeus, you're in the program. You're part of the blessing. Your life is going to receive blessing as you receive me into your life, as you receive me into your home, and you will become a blessing. I am the Son of Man, as we've heard already this morning, who has come to seek and to save the lost. Like Mary and Martha, like the children, like the ones who want to lock me up and refuse me, like the ones who are struggling to do what I'm asking and are going away from me at the moment, but I'm still coming for them. I'm still coming for you. And Zacchaeus, today we're making a great start, and now I'm going to be with you. And the Holy Spirit tells us from the whole of Luke's gospel and the rest of the Bible that the Lord Jesus, the one we were talking about in that creed at the beginning of the baptism, the one who went on to his death and his resurrection and is ascending in heaven and is coming again in glory, is the one who through his Holy Spirit, who we mentioned, is present. It talks about the Catholic Church, which is the worldwide church, which you may think about buildings and cathedrals, which is fine, but actually think about homes. Think about villages. Think about Openshaw. Think about Manchester. And it probably doesn't take us very much imagination, I would suggest to us, that if Jesus wants to start with money, he may have one or two other little things on his agenda as well. And I'm going to leave you to put in some of the specifics, because it's great for us all to think we can be a bit like the crowd. Well, oh, great, it'd be great if that got sorted out in that person's life and that and that. What about my life? Preparing this, folks, this is me too. In terms of marriage and sex and hospitality and careers and relationships and everything, because he is the one who has come to save. And in any part of this where we know we have messed up, where we go through the conviction of sin and the confession of sin and the amendment of life, he is there with us to work and help in us. And if, folks, your reaction to that is, oh no, take heart from Zacchaeus and say yes. There's a verse at the end of the Bible which is a well-known verse, and it comes at the end of some letters in the book of Revelation to the churches, and it's spoken in a prophetic vision from the risen, ascended Jesus. And it's a verse in Revelation 3:20 that when I was a teenager, I heard when I came to personal faith myself. And you may have heard it too. It was a favorite verse of Billy Graham's. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, says Jesus. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to the house and I will sit and eat with him or her and have a meal with you. And it's a great verse, and it worked on me, and I opened the door and I said, please come in. But actually, the verse in Revelation is said to the church, to the whole people who may, and in fact in particular to a community that's got a little bit lukewarm, a little bit taking Jesus as if, keep him a bit of a distance. And Jesus said, no, I didn't come to be kept at a distance, friends. I came to come into your life. I came in to eat with you. I came in to save you. And what we hope get this morning is that that is what he is still wanting to do. And that I hope this morning every single one of us will be saying yes. That word saving, it can jar for some people. I don't need saving. Well, we heard at the beginning in the confession that when we talk about God saving and Jesus saving, there is a saving from the wrath of God, the propitiation. That's what that word means. And we're not going to spend any time talking about it just at this moment from this passage, but it's an important part of the truth of saving. And it is just a word to us that actually God is angry about the stuff we mentioned. Think of the old stuff we were thinking of in the prayers and the world. But the emphasis in this Luke 19 is not so much on that saving, though that is part of the revelation of Jesus, and he speaks about that when he comes to his own death and resurrection in the Lord's Supper. But the saving that he is focusing in on Zacchaeus is that Zacchaeus is seeing with Jesus' eyes what his life is like without him, and what his life can become with him. And that's why he goes through the confession. That's why he starts to deal with the money issues. That's why he's willing to have Jesus come home and help sort out all the other stuff in his life that needs saving. And the wonderful thing about this passage, because sometimes we can think of saving as, of judgment, and that's important, friends. It is very, very important. But this verse and this scripture is in order for us to see what it is like to have our life blessed by Jesus. And there may be some tough stuff to sort out. It would not going to be easy for Zacchaeus to repay people he's defrauded what he took from them and four times more. But he's going to do it. And Jesus is going to help him do it. And presumably Jesus will help him when it gets a little bit messy, when people are asking for a bit more, or some people who turn up and think, well, I'm on a good thing here, so maybe I'll tell you that you defrauded me even if you never did. You can see how it can easily get complicated, but Jesus is still there for the saving and for the working and for the blessing and the rejoicing. And that's what I pray for and hope for us. We pray it for little Finn as he grows up. We pray it for one another. And as we say yes to him, and as the scripture this morning tells us what will happen when we do, even if it's a total shock to the system, and we even maybe for some of you this morning, you've never even thought about this before, think about it today. Think about it now. talk to me or Paul or Henry or someone. And if this triggers stuff in your own home situation, you think, okay, well, Lord, you might be able to cope with Zacchaeus, but you can't cope with this. And I'm not sure if I can cope with it. That's fine. That's what we're here as the body of Christ for, to help each other with stuff. And it may not all happen in 5 minutes. It may take a while. That's fine. But the point is that Jesus wants to come and bless, and he's asking us to say yes to him. And all that's what I'm saying to you this morning is, will you give him your yes as Zacchaeus gave Jesus his yes? And he'll do the work. He'll work in us. He'll sort it out. Don't worry too much about the grumblers and the crowd. They may have their place in helping things along a bit. But let's see what he will do. And there will be a time when, as all of us, even if those like, I've been a Christian a while now, but I've got work to do. I've got a yes to give to Jesus myself, as I hope you have. And I'm looking forward. I think I can say that because of his love for me, because it is his saving. It is his spirit. It is his work that's bringing me to the place where I can even imagine this could be possible. I am looking forward to the moment when the conversation can happen now through his spirit, through prayer, through our time together, when we can speak to one another face to face in the home he has prepared for us. May God bless you and bless each of us here this morning as we give Jesus our yes. Welcome him into our homes and see what saving work he wants to begin and continue now. In his name, amen.